Greatest Choice podcast, where we dive into the topics of singleness, fertility, motherhood, and choice. I'm your host, Katie B. Every episode, I'll deliver conversations with women in their fertile years who are grappling with what to do when life doesn't turn out as planned. You will also hear interviews with experts in the fields of fertility, personal development, choosing single motherhood, and more. Join us as we explore these topics and support each other along the way. Because what you decide to do with these years could be the single greatest choice you'll ever make, and you don't have to make it alone. Hey there. Thanks for listening to episode 1 of the Single Greatest Choice podcast. I want to start by introducing myself and sharing why I decided to create this show. My name is Katie, and I'm 38 years old. I live in Austin, Texas, and I love this city. I have an amazing family and wonderful friends. I love doing yoga and being outdoors, and I'm a huge podcast and personal development junkie. I've got a pretty great job training teachers to work with students with dyslexia, which is definitely a passion of mine. So all in all, life is pretty good. But there's something missing. I've always known I wanted to be a mom. In fact, many of the decisions I've made throughout my life were specifically to support that dream. From the major I chose in college, to my dating decisions, and even the cars that I've driven, I've been making sure I had room for a car seat for the last 15 years. I started off feeling pretty ahead of the game. I got married just after college at the age of 23, and we bought a house in the burbs that literally had a white picket fence. We even got a golden retriever puppy. Everything was unfolding the way I thought it should. But I think back then, I was a little too driven by what I thought I should be doing. And 5 years into my marriage, things began to fall apart. At age 28, my former husband and I decided to part ways. There were a number of reasons for our divorce, but one of the biggest was that I was certain I wanted kids, and he was not. So there I was, back out in the dating world. My future felt like a giant question mark. It was scary, but also exhilarating. To be honest, I really assumed that I'd meet someone quickly and settle back into that predictable family life. That's not what happened. Instead, I've spent the last decade dating, working on myself, making new friends, exploring new interests, and also waiting. I never stopped believing that the relationship I longed for was right around the corner. Because I was so certain, I didn't worry too much about getting older. I watched the people around me coupling up, and it always seemed like women my age were getting pregnant quickly and easily. I just knew it would be my turn soon. My 35th birthday came and went without a lot of angst. You often hear that fertility starts waning at the age of 35, but I was healthy and still certain that any day I'd meet my dream guy and get on with my family plans. Looking back, it's funny how rigidly I had that love, marriage, baby carriage thing locked into my mind. As I got older, I could feel the timeline condensing. Now I might only have a year instead of several to get to know the guy before jumping into forever. But I figured that since we were older and had been through more life experience, a faster moving relationship made sense. It never occurred to me to think about doing things outside the traditional order I'd always expected. During this time, I do remember asking my doctor at annual checkups if there was anything I should be doing to preserve my fertility. She never seemed too concerned, saying things like, "You're young, I'm sure you'll meet someone." Not exactly a medical opinion, but that's what I got. There was no testing of hormone levels or questions about family history of infertility. I'd been on birth control for so long that there was no way to even know if I had regular cycles. I don't remember if I asked about egg freezing. The procedure was considered experimental until 2012, the year I turned 30. I don't know if I knew anyone who'd frozen eggs, and I assumed the whole thing was more expensive than I could afford. Plus, it seemed kind of extreme, since I was so sure that I was destined to meet my future husband any day. At 36, I got a little more proactive. I saw a Facebook ad for an at-home fertility test that predicted ovarian reserve. If you're curious about that, I'll go ahead and put a link in the show notes for you. I assumed that the results would just reassure me that I was still in the clear. After all, I was active and healthy and had no reason to believe otherwise. But fertility is extremely individual, and it can't be predicted by how young or healthy you are or how you feel. I was actually on a yoga retreat the day I got my results in an email. I still remember that heart-pounding feeling of seeing my number right on the line between average and diminished. Not great news. The night before I'd left for the retreat, I'd had one of the best first dates ever. I had a great feeling about the guy and could just sense that it was going somewhere. So I was faced with a choice. Was I going to bury my head in the sand, cross my fingers, and hope for the best? Or was I going to respond to this not great information about my ovarian potential? This is the kind of choice I mean when I chose the title Single Greatest Choice for this podcast. It would have been so easy to give my power away and wait for a relationship to save me from my fertility fears. So many women take this wait-and-see approach, and then they're shocked and heartbroken to find that they've waited too long. I'm so glad that I decided to take a closer look. I don't think I'm alone in feeling the pressure of the biological clock. In fact, I know I'm not. I've connected with many of you through Facebook, Instagram, and in real life. I know the pressure is real, and I'm here because I want to help you find your way through it. So if you are single in your late 20s to early 40s, the single greatest choice is this. What will you do about your own fertility? Even if you're not sure whether you want children, maintaining the option may provide a peace of mind you didn't even know you needed. As I share more of my own story, you'll see firsthand how knowledge and action have created room to breathe. It's a luxury I didn't even believe was possible for me a year ago. I'll share more details about my story in the next episode, but what I can say is that the last 2 years have been full of choices. It's tough to navigate the world of fertility preservation and treatments, and it's even harder to do it alone. There's such a lack of education on even the basics. It was embarrassing to realize how little I truly understood about how my body works. I started by freezing eggs while exploring a new relationship. Later, I found myself deciding to try to get pregnant on my own. Not because that's what I truly wanted, but because I thought at the time that it was my only choice if I wanted to be a mom. I navigated the surreal world of sperm donor selection, attempting to get pregnant through IUI, and eventually freezing more eggs and creating embryos through a cycle of IVF. I've learned so much on my path. To be honest, I'm still not sure about my next steps, but I do know that I could be a guide for those of you who are just starting to consider how to preserve your own fertility or to become a single mother by choice. Have you heard that phrase, single mother by choice? I hadn't heard it until I started down this road. It's the common term for any woman who chooses to become a mother without a partner through pregnancy, surrogacy, or adoption. You can probably tell the title for this podcast was inspired by the term. Despite using the phrase single mother by choice, I actually kind of hate it. I mean, yes, if I choose to use my embryos, I will essentially be choosing single motherhood. But when I hear single mother by choice, it kind of implies that I want to be single, which is definitely not the case. Something like mother despite being single feels more accurate, but I guess it doesn't have the same ring. I know single mothers by choice come in all forms. I've connected with women who always knew that this was the path for them. In that case, single motherhood truly is the plan A. But I suspect that many of you, like me, came to single motherhood as more of a plan B. And you may have come in your late 30s or even 40s, hopeful but unaware of your own specific fertility situation. And if you're listening, but you're not considering single motherhood or questions of fertility preservation, I hope you'll stick around anyway. For one, there is an absolute need for information about our bodies and our fertility to become more common knowledge. You never know who in your world might need something you learn from these conversations. Also, you'll hear some powerful lessons in personal development and self-coaching, ones that can be applied to any situation, not just questions around singleness and motherhood. In fact, this idea of self-coaching is the second meaning behind my podcast title, The Single Greatest Choice. We've already discussed how deciding to take action to better understand and preserve your fertility could be the single greatest choice you make during your single fertile years. But there's another choice that you make every single moment, and it absolutely has the power to change your life. You and you alone get to choose your thoughts. This is incredible news. Most people assume that our thoughts and feelings are dictated by the circumstances of our lives, but they're not. Anytime I'm suffering, it's always because of what I'm thinking. Circumstances are always neutral. I learned this concept from many incredible teachers, including Napoleon Hill, Byron Katie, and life coach Brooke Castillo, to name a few. We'll talk more about choosing our thoughts in future episodes, but I want to give you an example so you know what I mean. Let's take a circumstance that many of us share. The circumstance is that I'm single and I'd rather not be. Though that fact may feel negative right from the start, it's actually totally neutral. It's a fact that I don't currently have a special someone in my life. Now, it's what I choose to think about that circumstance that determines how I feel. So, if I think, I'm single because there's something fundamentally flawed about me, and I'm somehow unworthy of love, that thought is going to make me feel like garbage. And not only will I feel terrible, but whatever actions I take will be coming from that place of negativity. The way I talk to my friends, my coworkers, or even dates, the way I show up in the world is going to reflect my negative beliefs, and it's definitely not going to attract a partner. What if I take the circumstance of my singleness and make it mean that all men are trash, no one is worthy of dating, all the good ones are taken, blah, blah, blah? That thought is going to lead to feelings of defeat and apathy, maybe even hostility. You can see how that one is definitely not going to attract a mate either. Now, as I become more skilled at noticing and choosing my thoughts, I can learn to agree that circumstances are neutral, and I can take a more neutral approach to my thinking too. So maybe I'm still not thrilled to be single, but I don't have to make it mean something terrible about me, or about men, or anything else. I can just think, I'm single and I'd rather not be. Lots of great people are single. My relationship status does not mean anything about my general worthiness, and it's not forever. It's just my current circumstance, and circumstances are always changing. This thought opens up a little breathing room. When I think this way, I'm still allowing honesty about the fact that I don't love my current circumstance, but I'm holding it with an understanding that it doesn't have to mean anything negative, and it's also not forever. Now, if you really want to get fancy with your thought work, you can search for the thoughts that will create the kind of feelings that you want to have. Let's say I want to feel positive, hopeful, and excited. What thoughts around my singleness could create those kinds of feelings? How about this? I've been working so hard on becoming the best version of myself. I'm so thankful that I have this time to focus on my own growth. I wish I had a partner now, but I know that the more I grow, the better aligned I will be to attract the type of partner I've always dreamed of having. You can see how this thought creates a sense of anticipation. It allows me to move through the world with a curiosity and excitement about what's to come. That type of energy is going to be exponentially more attractive to the people around me. Plus, it's just more fun. So here's the rub. The single greatest choice is what you choose to think in any given situation. Circumstances are always neutral. What we think about our circumstances is a choice. Now, sometimes we have to make that choice over and over when the negative ones keep creeping back in, but it is always a choice. The thoughts we choose create our feelings, and our feelings lead to action. The action that we take or don't take leads to a result, and those results form our new set of circumstances. And then we get to choose what we think about those circumstances too. Once you get the hang of this, it really changes everything. I cannot imagine going through this journey without the vital ability to self-coach. So I guess you could say that I choose to think that part of why motherhood is coming later in life for me, and in a different way than I ever expected, is so that it would happen after I'd gained these incredible mental tools to navigate through this process. I'm incredibly grateful and so excited to share more about self-coaching with you in future episodes. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Single Greatest Choice podcast. I'm your host, Katie B. You can learn about me and this project on my website, singlegreatestchoice.com. That's also the place to go if you're interested in being a future podcast guest. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a minute to rate and review in iTunes. That helps more women to find our show. Until next time, I'm sending you all my love and support as you go about making the choices that will create a life you love.